TheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
It's better over here.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has an exclusive rate plan just for you. Right now, get two lines of talk, text, and data for just $30 a line. That's a 45% savings versus Verizon and AT&T. Plus, you can get one of the latest 5G phones free when you add a line. That's right, a free 5G phone. Experience all this and more on America's largest 5G network. So why wait? At T-Mobile, customers 55 and up can get two lines of talk, text, and data for only $30 a line. Just go to T-Mobile.com/choice55 or visit your local store to make the switch.
With auto pay using debit or bank account, plus taxes and fees, 45% off two lines versus AT&T Starter and Verizon Welcome. Plan benefits vary. Free phones up to $300 off with 24 monthly bill credits and qualifying new line for well-qualified customers, plus tax and $35 device connection charge. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue remaining bill credits. Bill credits end if you pay off device early. See details at T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in London meeting with leaders in a push for a ceasefire in the Middle East, including the end of the war in Gaza and a ceasefire in Lebanon. ABC's Tom Sufi Burich has more.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken meeting with Lebanon's caretaker prime minister. Remember, there is a government in Lebanon, but the real power broker in the country is Hezbollah. So the U.S. deals directly with the Lebanese government. It doesn't deal with Hezbollah, which it regards as a terrorist organization. Blinken saying there's a real need and urgency to end the war in Lebanon right now. The Jordanian foreign minister at that meeting saying the region is on the brink of a wider regional war. There is a sense that that is already underway.
Presidential candidates focusing their messages in key swing states. Kamala Harris in Texas for a rally. Donald Trump holding a rally tonight in Michigan. The majority of states across the U.S. facing drought-like conditions, including the Northeast, where the threat of wildfires has also risen in recent weeks. This is ABC News. A New Mexico judge today upheld her earlier decision to dismiss an involuntary manslaughter charge against Alec Baldwin in that fatal shooting on the Rust movie set. In Delphi, Indiana, testimony continuing in the double murder trial of two teens killed in 2017. Today, a forensic firearms expert sharing evidence linking Richard Allen to the crime scene, allegedly.
Melissa Oberg, a former Indiana State Police firearm examiner, took to the stand to explain tool mark analysis, specifically how markings on a cartridge found near the victims allegedly connected to a gun owned by Richard Allen. She demonstrated for jurors how a semi-automatic handgun cycles and ejects a cartridge, pointing out ejector and extractor marks. Her analysis revealed the .40-caliber cartridge found between Libby and Abby's bodies matched Allen's weapon, which had been seized from his home. Dave Packer, ABC News.
A 15-year sleep study finds people with problems falling asleep or staying asleep have more signs of poor brain health in middle age. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Presenting Again Fling's Love Story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
Paul's new drone startup just lost its most genius computer scientist.
We just lost our best genius to some new genius who's got a genius new idea. I'm going to have to find a new genius or two half geniuses and fast.
He needs a computer scientist that can keep his startup from falling down.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Green Bay Packers agree to offer the city of Green Bay the money it wants in an extended lease for Lambeau Field.
That move came after all 12 city council members on Wednesday voiced their support for Mayor Eric Genrich in negotiations with the team. Council President Brian Johnson.
He is sticking up for what's right for taxpayers and asking for things that are completely appropriate in a lease agreement.
Following the press conference, the Packers offered rent with an annual escalator of 2.75% for 30 years, starting at about $1 million. In return, the team said it would invest $1.5 billion in the stadium, and taxpayers would not be obligated to pay for that. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin and South Dakota-based healthcare systems plan to merge.
Marshfield Clinic Health System and Sanford Health, based in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, announced Wednesday they plan to merge. The joint press release said the integration of the two health systems aimed to improve patient care with new technology, research, and training. The merger is expected by the end of the year, subject to regulatory approval and closing conditions, the company said. I'm Carl Cooley for Wisconsin Radio Network.
Artificial intelligence research at UW-Madison is getting a multi-million dollar boost.
The Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation is giving $160 million in total to the university, with $15 million of that going to AI research. Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin says the award will help UW-Madison lead the way in shaping AI's role in our future. The grant will also help speed up hiring of 120 to 150 new faculty over 3 to 5 years, help fund cutting-edge tech, bolster research staff, and provide startup costs. WARF has been awarding grant money to the university since 1925, and this year's total is larger than last year's grant total of roughly $134 million. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and seasonal, both today and tomorrow. High temperatures reach those upper 50s. Then, wind shift out of the south for Sunday, warming us up to the low 60s and spiking us to near 70 on Monday. Then, the heat really cranks up for Tuesday, nearing 80 degrees. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, 53 degrees.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you join us here today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Always good to have you along for a conversation about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. Today's program is brought to you by Cenex. High-quality fuel like Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel can help you manage risk and decrease downtime, giving you peace of mind. Go to your nearest Cenex store or Cenex.com for more information. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk markets with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. Get his perspective on things as we near the end of October. Seems like we continue to have a lot of export demand happening here. Really, the last couple of weeks, more sales on Friday morning of corn. We're going to talk about all that and more coming up later in the show. We'll also look at news headlines in segment four after we talk to Arlen. In segment two, we're going to catch up on recovery efforts in the Southeast, particularly in the state of Georgia, looking at their agriculture sector that was hit by Hurricanes Helene and Milton to some degree. Tyler Harper, the Georgia Commissioner of Agriculture, will join us coming up in segment two of today's AOA. Kicking things off, let's have a conversation with the president of the National Farmers Union. Rob LaRue joins us here on AOA. Rob, welcome back to the program. How are you, sir?
Doing just fine, Jesse. Good to be with you.
Well, I know there is no shortage of topics that we could talk about, Rob. I think first and foremost is elections, farm bill, the legislative calendar in the lame duck after the elections, with us being less than 2 weeks away. I think a lot of focus is, of course, on the elections. But in terms of agriculture, what could the result of the election mean for farm policy, for a farm bill after we see who wins various Senate and House races and the presidency, et cetera, et cetera? It just feels like for right now, a lot of these items are kind of on hold until we see the results of the election, Rob.
You kind of teed it up there real nice, Jesse. Maybe to sum it up, what we're dealing right now is just uncertainty on so many fronts. But the one thing that remains crystal clear is that with that uncertainty, and then you have markets that are not nearly where we need them to be, and the prospects for what the outlook might be for grain prices, even for next year, financing, all those challenges that folks have and all that uncertainty, we need to get this farm bill wrapped up. And so that really is, even with the impending election and so forth, for farmers and ranchers out there, I think the message is crystal clear that we have to get this farm bill done by the end of the year. So that means a lame duck session. And that the way that that shapes up, I think, will be a little bit clearer come election. But the certainty of getting that done is the message right now.
When I think about getting into that lame duck session, it seems like there's more work that has to be done on the Senate side versus the House side to try and get a new five-year farm bill over the finish line. And I've heard plenty of talk on both sides. Some folks think we can get the farm bill, a new one, done in the lame duck. Some think we have to have another one-year extension of the 2018 farm bill, Rob. And I think about this, if we have an extension, we have some members of Congress who are retiring, namely Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow. We could have new members of Congress who have no farm bill experience getting seated. Just feels like it creates more challenges and possibly having to maybe start over in some ways as we get into 2025 if we have another extension.
I think that's the big problem, right, is that we can't afford to kick the can further down the road. It's already been kicked 1 year, right, and now we're still kind of rolling on borrowed time, if you will. We don't know what the conditions are going to be like for next year. I think what is certain is that there will certainly be a lot of talk about deficit spending and the need to look seriously at the budget, because there's going to be a lot of talk about the tax provisions next year. And trying to write a farm bill in that environment, I think, is something that nobody wants to do right now, which is puts all the pressure right now for lame duck. You're right, there will be a big challenges. It's a heavy, heavy lift to do a farm bill in the best of times, and this is not the best of times. I think one thing I always try to remind folks is that if we're looking at a farm bill and a lame duck, you have to throw out those old considerations about how a bill becomes a law and going through regular process. You have the House and the Senate ag committees and the important work that they're doing. But I think that if we will never get a farm bill done, if we don't get the Speaker of the House, the Majority Leader in the Senate, those top leaders, if they want to see a farm bill done, this thing can happen.
We're talking with Rob LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union. Rob, another topic I wanted to ask you about, fair and competitive markets. I know this is something that NFU has been following closely. USDA has been trying to make a commitment to fairness and transparency here. Talk about some of the latest we've seen on that front.
Yeah, Fairness for Farmers campaign that Farmers Union created really is just that basic message that I think all farmers and ranchers can appreciate. When you have kind of a monopolization of a market out there, unfortunately, free market kind of goes out the window, and farmers are at a real disadvantage. This can be in the choices of where they market the products. Certainly, we know a lot of the concentration in some of the livestock sector, particularly the beef market. And so USDA has been working on some of those rules. They continue to make progress on that. We'll see where they end up before the end of the year. But as we roll into next year, one other area that we're seeing some progress in that we're encouraged by is the continuing efforts to truly allow farmers and ranchers to fix or repair their own equipment. And so the issue of right to repair is still resonating out there. Most folks I talk to understand that if they were required to take all their cars and pickups only back to the dealer where they bought it from, what that would do to costs and everything. So for farmers, it's making sure that we get those fair rules in place, but also on issues like right to repair, making sure that that is the certainty that is across the country and not just in a couple of states.
And I'm glad you brought up right to repair. I was going to ask you about that here as we close out the segment. We got about a minute. It's felt like that issue has been a little bit quieter here as of late. Is there anything major on the horizon that you could see right now, Rob, in terms of right to repair?
Well, there's a few moving pieces. You have states, Colorado is the perfect example, which is now right to repair is the law in the state of Colorado. And so we're watching that very new law go into place and see. So the look there is whether or not it's being implemented. We have court cases going on, and we have a very active investigation going on by federal regulators at FTC. All of these pieces, I think, point to real progress, hopefully achieving in the end farmers and ranchers able to fix their own equipment.
Well, that's hopefully what will be the case as we move forward. We'll watch that issue and many more closely. NFU.org for more. The president of the National Farmers Union, Rob LaRue. Rob, always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us on AOA today.
Take care.
All right, coming up next on AOA, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. We'll talk with Georgia's Commissioner of Agriculture, Tyler Harper, on the way right after this.
I was able to buy my first home using the VA Home Loan Guarantee without having to put down a down payment. I was able to graduate from college using the post 9/11 GI Bill debt-free. I was able to enroll in VA healthcare, and I know that VA is going to be there for me when I need it. My service was then, and my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage
and helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges, and our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider, and MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
And AOA continues here today, powered by Cenex. With harvest season in full swing, you can count on Cenex stores' high-quality lubricants to keep your operation moving. Power through the season, Cenex has what you need. Visit your nearest Cenex store location or go to cenex.com for more information. Well, as we continue today's program, we want to turn our attention to the Southeast and recovery efforts after Hurricanes Helene, Hurricane Milton, etc., and particularly the state of Georgia and the impacts on agriculture in that state. Joining us now for a conversation, he is the Agriculture Commissioner for the state of Georgia. Tyler Harper is with us here today on AOA. Tyler, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Jesse. We're doing well, and thank you for having us on, and thank you for having a discussion about the hurricanes and the impact it's had on the Southeast. It's definitely been devastating, but good to be with you this morning.
Well, I appreciate the time. I know things have been busy for you and everyone impacted by the hurricanes, and I know our thoughts and prayers are with everyone who's been impacted and loss of life and loss of livestock and crops and you name it on the agriculture side. I guess let's just start and maybe set this up for us a little bit and put it into perspective. I've seen some preliminary estimates and figures topping billions of dollars. $6 billion is one number I saw, just the impact on Georgia's agriculture alone. I mean, put this into perspective for us, some of the impacts that we have seen.
So, Jesse, you know, at the department, we're our team has been part of this since day one. You know, before the hurricane even come into the state of Georgia, our emergency response team was in the state operations center with the other state agencies and preparing for the storm. And obviously, as the storm passed and left our state, we began working toward helping ensure that our agricultural industry was able to get back on its feet as quickly as possible. You know, for all practical purposes, almost every commodity in the state of Georgia was impacted by Hurricane Helene as it made its track from South Georgia all the way up through Northeast Georgia and out of our state. You know, many remember Hurricane Michael that come through Georgia, Florida, and Georgia about back in 2018. We knew that after this storm passed through that it was going to be more devastating than Michael. We just didn't realize how much more so. The preliminary estimates, kind of like you were mentioning, when it comes to direct impact to agriculture and forestry, it's over 3.2, knocking on close to $3.4 or $5 billion direct impact to those industries. And when you take into the economy in total, and you take into those indirect losses as well, it's over a $6.5 billion loss to agriculture and rural communities through that hurricane path that come through our state. It was significant. You know, when we went boots on the ground, poultry houses completely leveled, pecan orchards that were completely leveled. You know, we had cotton crop on the ground. We saw significant losses in our nursery operations. Obviously, in our livestock operations, a lot of infrastructure loss and fencing and hay barns and things of that nature. And you know, obviously, our timber operations lost a lot of timber throughout the state. And like I said, for all practical purposes, every commodity, even our world famous Vidalia onions. You know, it was the Vidalia onion season was over, but we still had Vidalia onions in the in coolers, and those coolers went offline, and so we had to work overtime to get those coolers back online to help those farmers save what crop they had getting ready to go to market. So mm-hmm. we saw widespread catastrophic impacts to agriculture across all commodities. And so our farmers and producers are still dealing with that. You know, obviously, one of the biggest things for us is our peanut crop was still in the dirt, and it was not hurt as bad. But our peanut buying points all went offline because they didn't have power. So we were focused on getting generators to those facilities to get them back online as quickly as possible so the producers and our farmers had somewhere to take their crops and harvest, be able to actually harvest a crop that they were able to salvage through the storm. So our ag community here in Georgia, and obviously our friends in the other states that were impacted by this storm, and even down in Florida, they got hit by Milton You know, we've been impacted hard. We got a lot of work to do to work through this. But our team is committed to helping our farmers and producers get through this as quickly as possible and help them bounce back and hopefully get in a position where they'll be successful going forward and ensure that their family farm operations are able to continue to stay strong.
We're talking with Georgia Agriculture Commissioner Tyler Harper here today on AOA, and thank you for that perspective. And I think sometimes folks maybe forget how diverse a state like Georgia is when it comes to agriculture. You hit on so many different commodities, livestock, your forestry industry, nursery, et cetera, et cetera. And so let's look forward. Obviously, recovery efforts ongoing, the monetary losses, everything in front of us. I know that this is going to be a long road ahead, but what are things like here as we move forward? What is that outlook looking like? What is your ag department doing to help folks here as we move forward?
So I think, you know, moving forward obviously is trying to ensure that our farm families and our ag economy can recover. You know, when you talk about losses of poultry houses, that means those operations in pecan orchards, you're talking multi-generational losses. You know, some of those trees were 15, 20, 25, 30 years old. That means you've lost, you know, 25 years of revenue, possibly. And in same way with poultry facilities that were completely lost. And then you have cotton crops that are completely on the ground that can't be harvested. That means there's no income coming into that farm. Even though there's no income still coming in, they still have bills to pay at the end of the year. They still have obligations to meet. And so we've got to find a way to help ensure that we get them through this. And so we're committed to doing just that. Our team has been working with our congressional delegation here in the state of Georgia. And I will have to tell you, it's been really great to see our congressional delegation come across party lines and partisanship aside, understanding the help that our agricultural community needs to help them through this. But it's not just about the farm families. And I think that's what needs to be put in perspective in relation to this storm. Yes, our farm families and ag industries, and they're the ones that took the direct hit when it comes to the ag industry. But when you look at the communities in our state that were hit in the path of this storm, those are very rural communities that are significantly dependent upon agriculture for them to be successful. You know, our farm families in the ag industry are what helps pay the local county and school taxes. They're the ones, you know, our farmers are the ones that help our those restaurants stay up to speed and in business. You know, those communities, those car dealerships and those rural communities are dependent upon the ag industry for purchasing those vehicles at the end of the year. So the trickle-down effect is significant in these economies. So if we're not able to help our farm families through this, the impact on those rural communities could be significantly more devastating than I think a lot of people realize. And when you get to talking about your cotton gins and your buying points and your farm supply stores, feed, seed, fertilizer dealers, you know, they're dependent upon them being able to make those payments at the end of the year. And if you don't have a commodity to sell, it's hard to make those payments. So we've been really working hard coming together to help them through this, to get a ag disaster package through Congress by the end of the year. I've been conversing with my counterparts, my commissioner colleagues in all the southeastern states that were impacted by the storm. I know our governor has been talking to the governors across these states. We've been trying to get our congressional delegations all on the same page to get a package across the finish line, an ag disaster bill to help our farm families in the southeast that were devastated by the storm, and ensure that they're able to get through this, to be stronger for it. But even before the storms come through our states, the ag economy was in a pretty tough spot as it was. High input costs, suppressed commodity prices. We were seeing some significant issues in the ag industry already. You throw a hurricane on top of that, it made it that much worse. So we're working to do what we can, even on the state level, working to try to find some ways to maybe do some low interest loans to help our producers from a state perspective. But we're going to work with our federal counterparts and hopefully get some things across the finish line on the federal level helping through this.
Hopefully we can get that done, and our thoughts are with everyone affected as recovery efforts happen there in the state of Georgia and the Southeast. Georgia Commissioner of Agriculture Tyler Harper, thank you for being with us on AOA today. We appreciate it.
Glad to be with you. Thank you for having me.
We'll be back on AOA powered by Cenex with Arlen Suderman. StoneX next.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
To AO.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk down 13 to 2014, December down 20 to 2020, January down 21 to 1999, February down 21 to 1962. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live cattle markets were mostly lower on the day. Feeder cattle markets were mostly mixed. Now, that cattle on feed report did provide some pressure to the market, but box beef prices were higher, and also the cash markets higher earlier in the week. That at least helped the feeder cattle complex close mostly higher to mixed, while hog markets mostly higher strength and some of the pork cutout values as high as over $3, helping to support the hogs. October live cattle up 40 cents to 189.70. October feeder cattle up 22 cents to 249.62. December hogs up $1.02 to 79.67. Meanwhile, at the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat were all mostly lower on the day. The weather remained open to keep the harvest moving well ahead of normal ahead of the weekend, and that provided pressure to the markets, even though the export wire remained active with 136,000 tons of corn sold to Mexico. Soybeans also lower on that harvest pressure and the positive weather in South America, even though the export wire showed 116,000 metric tons sold to China. Meanwhile, wheat markets were lower as well. December corn down 6.25 to 4.15 1/4. November beans down 8.5.
Our community is made up of lots of different members with different interests and dreams. The same is true with our members at Wisconsin Credit Union, who count on us for lots of different things to help pursue those interests and dreams. From a range of savings and checking accounts to loans, mortgages, and financial planning, as well as specialized business accounts and services too. And unlike banking at some places where you're just a number, when you bank at Wisconsin Credit Union, you're actually an owner in a not-for-profit cooperative, which is how we can offer higher rates and lower fees and exceptional customer service. Plus, all the latest conveniences, too. You can even open accounts, apply for loans, and become a member online or by visiting any of our convenient locations. So, whatever your interests, dreams, or financial needs, anytime is the right time to join Wisconsin Credit Union. Start at wisconsincu.org. Member eligibility required. Equal opportunity lender. Member NCUA.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA today brought to you by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect your equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Mitigate your risk on the farm with that Cenex Premium Diesel. Go to your nearest Cenex store or visit them online, cenex.com, for more information. It's time to turn our attention to what is happening in the markets as we near the end of the month of October. Joining us now for a conversation, might be getting ready for that big interstate Kansas rivalry game on Saturday night, K-State and Kansas. But ahead of that, let's talk some markets with Arlen Suderman from Stone X. Arlen, good to have you with us here again on AOA. How are you?
You bet. Good to be back here with you again, Jesse. And it's been a beautiful fall for harvest. It sounds like that may change here in the days ahead with some chances to rain. That may slow the harvest progress, actually help with the storage situation a little bit. We'd love having that rain in the dry Midwest as well, because right now, as dry as the Midwest is, that does raise some concerns for next growing season.
Absolutely, it does. It's one of many things that I think are underlying in these markets right now. And you mentioned the storage situation, and I want to start there. I feel like that this market, we've seen really good export demand. 8 days in a row of corn sales as of Friday morning, for instance. Foreign demand's been there, but even end users, it sounds like they're trying to pry some more supply out of farmers' hands. I think we've been seeing some farmers selling in this market, maybe reluctant farmers selling on some of this recent rally. I mean, just talk about this whole picture in terms of corn and soybeans right now, Arlen.
Yeah, what farmer wouldn't like to see another $1, $1.50 per bushel for the price of corn and soybeans? But that's not the case. So they don't sell unless they have to, and in some cases they have to. But overall, we're seeing very reluctant selling going on right now. On the other hand, what end user wouldn't like it to be $1, $1.50 cheaper? But they know that's probably not going to happen near term. So harvest lows type of situation is a good time to extend coverage. We're seeing that both domestically and globally. Particularly Mexico has been a great buyer of corn. China has been buying soybeans. They've had some big purchases, not as big as what they would do in the past necessarily. So we're still lagging there. But when you look at marketing year to date, corn sales, we're currently about 125 million bushels above the seasonal pace we need to be at to hit USDA's target. And that goes along and just kind of fuels what I've been saying now for a number of weeks, that I felt like the corn export picture could be a little better than what USDA is painting us. Not necessarily 125 million bushels better, but I think notably better, and we'll see how things play out then with the South American growing season. Soybeans, we're still trailing the seasonal pace we need to be on to hit USDA's target by 100 million bushels. So that's a real concern, because this is a time of year when we really have our opportunity ahead of the South American harvest to export. So that's a concern going forward. We'll continue to monitor it and see if we can close that gap. We are slowly closing it, but we need to see some more progress there.
I'm going to ask this as well, with the elections less than 2 weeks away. Is that maybe a big driver of some of this export demand? Are some of our foreign buyers maybe stockpiling ahead of the election with all the uncertainty out there about who's going to be the next president of the United States?
I've seen that speculation, but I don't know that we can really see evidence of it. I mentioned earlier that Mexico's a big buyer of corn, but they did the same thing last year as well. So I don't think we can necessarily draw that conclusion. I think they're front-loading now at an opportunity when they see the price is good. When it comes to soybeans, it's interesting you ask Chinese buyers why you're not buying more soybeans now. Still have very little coverage on for arrival in December and January. And they'll say, well, we don't want to look like we're trying to affect the elections. But yet, if you look at historically, they're way below what they would normally be buying. If you don't want to affect elections, you would think you would follow your normal pattern. And that's what has me concerned, if it's just lost demand that we have there and that we're not going to fully recover. And that's been the trend in recent years, is to buy less and less from us each year as Brazil expands what they have available for China to buy. And most of the time, Brazil's soybeans are cheaper anyway because of their currency exchange rates, giving them an advantage there. So I still am very concerned about soybeans, but I can't say it's necessarily about the election influencing one way or the other.
We're talking with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, here on AOA. Looking really across the macros and the energies as well, I know there's plenty of geopolitical concerns there that have kind of been weighing in. And I know those markets have been tied into the grains and the livestock trade as well. Anything major for you on the energy or macro front that we need to pay attention to as we get ready for the month of November?
Well, first of all, on the energy front, we're well supplied with energy. When you look at the overall global situation, right now we're not enforcing sanctions against Iran. We're allowing Venezuela to pump oil as well, and not going back on the sanctions there that had limited their ability to export. Libya, which had some civil strife, is back to pumping oil again, and OPEC had reduced their output by about 5.5 million barrels per day, and so they could always ramp that up. It wouldn't be easy to ramp up all that 5.5 million barrels. That would take time, but considerable amount of it they could. So it's not about a supply situation. Chinese demand is certainly a concern. The world seems somewhat unimpressed about China being able to turn its economy around very quickly, and so therefore various agencies keep ramping down expected Chinese energy demand going forward. But the concern that keeps up holding up prices is the Middle East war and the conflicts that we see there. And if we're still waiting for Israel to retaliate against Iran for what it did in directly striking Israel over the past month. And so what targets are they going to pick? Will they pick their energy infrastructure? If so, Iran has indicated it may hit energy infrastructure of other countries. Would the Straits of Hormuz get shut down? That might limit OPEC Plus's ability to compensate with higher output. And so that's what supports the energy markets, while the sluggish demand kind of limits the upside.
I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the livestock trade as well with you. I know Friday afternoon, the latest cattle on feed report will be out. I know the on feed estimates, 99.7% of a year ago as of October 1. It sounds like maybe, again, more emphasis and more focus on the placements number, what that will be. And I was a little surprised to see cash activity develop on Thursday as well in feedlot country ahead of the on-feed report. Your thoughts in this cattle trade as we wait on that on-feed number and near the end of the month there?
Yeah, we kind of thought that the cash cattle trade would wait until today. And then in about midday yesterday, all of a sudden it opened up. The expectations was that maybe we'd be a dollar higher in the south and maybe steady in the north. And instead, we were basically $2 to $3 higher across the feedlot belt. So very active trade really unfolding yesterday, and a little better than expected. And it's largely priced into the cattle market yesterday. Now we're getting up to some lofty price levels once again, where the market tends to struggle with that cattle on feed report coming out. So we're kind of pausing today so the market can actually see those numbers, see if there's any surprises in there. We've also, with the higher slaughter levels, started to increase the supply of product again. This product market has started to soften over the last couple of days. Packer margins are still positive for both cattle and hogs right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if we continue to soften this market if we start seeing the chain speed slow down again on the cattle side.
I'll leave this to you here for the last 90 seconds or so, Arlen. Any reminders, anything you want to reiterate to farmers and ranchers as they're taking a look at the markets right now? I know prices aren't where folks want them to be, things like that, but what would you tell folks in terms of risk management right now?
Yeah, this is a time to play defense, so to speak, and not hitting home runs as we go into the World Series, but base hits and take up opportunities where you get them in your marketing. If you can grab some good bases, grab a rally that gives us opportunity, protect the equity in your farm, make that the primary focus right now. We've had some years of building equity. Now we want to protect that and design our marketing plan around that philosophy.
Yeah, it's a tough situation as some of those margins get squeezed, but I guess low prices cure low prices. That's how the saying goes, right, Arlen?
Yeah, it does, and I think we'll particularly may see the opportunity in corn to see that happen. I'm less optimistic about soybeans, and we do have some potential developing stories down the road with weather in the northern hemisphere.
Yeah, get that pencil out, sharpen it up, make sure you got that plan and play a little defense to Arlen's point. Good thoughts as always. Appreciate the time. Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joining us here on AOA today. Arlen, thanks again. And I'll say it. Hopefully I don't make too many folks mad at me, but go Wildcats against Kansas on Saturday.
Appreciate that much.
Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joining us here on Agriculture of America. Always good to get some insight and talk with Arlen here on the program as we watch these markets nearing the end of October. AOA Today, powered by CenX. Every minute matters on the farm and ranch. Bulk diesel fuel storage could boost productivity and maximize ROI. Visit your nearest CenX store or CenX.com for more information. Coming up next, we'll take a look at Ag News headlines as we close out the show. Back with more on AOA right after this.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
At Jerry Bear and Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear and Sons, just off Highway 25, Durand.
Eric Hovde's been caught lying again. Caught lying about Tammy Baldwin 20 times in his ads. The latest, quote, Hovde falsely claimed that Tammy Baldwin supports sex change surgery on minors. The truth? Tammy Baldwin doesn't support that, and there's no sex change surgeries on minors anywhere in Wisconsin. None. Hovde also lied about Baldwin, quote, giving our money to a transgender clinic. That's been found false three different times. The Journal Sentinel says the truth is Baldwin supported mental health funding for a homeless youth shelter. That's right. Hovde's attacking a place for homeless kids. We all know what Eric Hovde is doing. He's trying to scare you, but they are all lies. Wisconsin is better than this. We're not going to let some billionaire California banker lie his way into the United States Senate.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
For the U.S. Air Force.
We all have tough choices we have to make. Life just works that way. I remember when I was getting ready to move to Nashville to pursue my dream. I packed my 10-year-old Toyota Corolla with 250,000 miles on it and hit the road. It was a tough choice, but the right one for me. If I decided to take what seemed like an easier road, I never would have achieved my dream. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
The United Soybean Board, your soy checkoff, is on a mission to deliver sustainable soy solutions to every life, every day, from food products to renewable fuels, tires, and beyond. For the next several weeks, tune into AOA on Thursday mornings for the Sustainable Soy Update series. We'll visit with farmers and industry experts to discuss soy checkoff investments focused on the sustainable production of U.S. soy and how this builds markets and profit opportunities for farmers. For more information, visit unitedsoybean.org.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Jesse Allen with you here as our program today is powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Mitigate risk on the farm with Premium Diesel from Cenex and keep your operation moving. Go to your nearest Cenex store or visit Cenex.com for more information. Well, farm debt could grow next year without a farm bill, according to an ag economist who testified recently before the House Agriculture Committee. Now, the damage being done to the farm economy without an updated farm bill is real and could get worse, according to Dr. Ronald Rainey, University of Arkansas professor and vice president.
The current environment has placed increasing pressure on producers' balance sheets, forcing them to increase farm debt levels as they attempt to survive the current economic challenges. Across all ag sectors and types of production, farm profitability remains a challenge.
USDA projects a 25% plus $43 billion drop in net farm income this year, or $90 billion combined over the last 2 years, the largest in history. Rainey says high input costs and plummeting prices are squeezing producers.
In response to this profitability squeeze, farmers have been increasing debt levels. A recent article from Kansas City Fed details recent changes in farm debt levels and highlights increased debt levels, especially among small and mid-sized farms.
Steady increases at commercial banks are taking place amid continued growth in farm operating debt. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley has heard similar accounts in meetings with his state's bankers and farm credit system lenders.
We have heard statements that it's going to be more expensive to borrow, and it's going to be more borrowing necessary.
Now, American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall has stressed the need for a modernized farm bill. Otherwise, lacking the certainty of a new farm bill, bankers could make it harder for farmers to secure operating loans in 2025. While U.S. farmers remain hopeful, to push for renewable diesel will open a large market for the vegetable oil pressed from soybeans. However, imported used cooking oil, particularly from China, has been supplanting that demand pull. North Dakota State University agricultural economist Frayne Olson says this is because there are two different interacting policies.
So the California Air Resources Board, or CARB, is actually really behind a lot of these decisions. And at least right now is, from what I'm understanding, the kind of the driving force behind some of these uses for not only the used cooking oil, but also for other sources of vegetable oil.
Now, there are two policy layers, the California Air Resources Board, or CARB, and the federal RFS, or Renewable Fuel Standard. CARB is quite literally in the driver's seat.
Part of the reason that there's such an interest in the used cooking oil is because it is used cooking oil. So when you do the carbon math, which is my terminology for this, because it's a waste product, they don't count the carbon that is going to be used other than the energy required to convert the used cooking oil into renewable diesel. So the carbon footprint for used cooking oil is substantially smaller than the carbon footprint for vegetable oil that's been grown and processed into a viable feedstock and then converted, because that used cooking oil has already been used for something else.
Now, the imported used cooking oil is considered a waste product. Its carbon footprint has already been assigned to the food industry, and this is the characteristic that makes it valuable to oil companies. They get more California carbon policy bang for their buck from the used cooking oil than from processed soybean oil. Well, for the third year in a row, the Mississippi River is experiencing low water levels during harvest season. In the spring and early summer, precipitation and water levels were quite robust. Mike Steenhook, executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition, says once the calendar moved past mid-July, precipitation declined significantly, which caused a steady and dramatic decrease in water levels. And there was a brief rise in water levels near Memphis after Hurricane Helene, but once a surge of water passed through the system, those water levels quickly returned to where they were earlier. Now, Steenhook says, quote, in certain areas of the river, we're seeing several feet of draft reductions due to the low water. For each foot of draft reduction on the river, each barge carries 7,000 fewer bushels of soybeans, which is roughly 200 tons, end quote. Now, the draft is the distance between the waterline and the lowest part of the hull. Steenhook added that, quote, depending on the location in the river, tow sizes are being reduced from 10 to 15% at minimum and upwards of 30 to 40%. What makes barge transportation so economical is the ability to load individual barges with significant volumes of freight while attaching many barges together to form a flotilla or tow. Low water conditions on the river attack both of those features, end quote. Now, unfortunately, low water levels on the Mississippi River have an effect on producer profitability at a time when the ag economy is already at a low point and margins are getting squeezed significantly. And finally, here today on AOA, the DTN Progressive Farmer Pulse of Rural America poll is out, and it reveals strong support for former President Donald Trump and highlights some of the top issues on the minds of farmers as they go to the ballot box. The survey included 1,393 rural Americans from 46 states. The top five states for responses came from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, and Texas. Now, as many as 90% of respondents are farmers, ranchers, or rural landowners. A survey showed former President Trump's support continues to solidify in rural America. He had 46% support in 2016, 50% support in 2020, and 70% support in this year's survey. Now, you can see the full survey results at dtnpf.com. Some of the questions from the Pulse of Rural America survey: if you had to choose today, who would you vote for out of these candidates? 70% said Donald Trump, 19% said Kamala Harris, while 9% were undecided. Another question was, is the country heading in the right direction? 56% of respondents strongly disagreed, while 21% disagree. Only 8% agreed that the country was heading in the right direction. And is U.S. agriculture better off or worse now than it was 4 years ago? According to the DTN Progressive Farmer poll, 72% of respondents said U.S. agriculture is worse off than it was 4 years ago. 14% said the same,
8% said better off. So again, that's some of the results from the latest DTN Progressive Farmer Pulse of Rural America poll that our friends over at DTN put together, and a survey including almost 1,400 rural Americans, and support is strong for former President Donald Trump in rural America, it appears, ahead of Election Day. And with that, we are out of time here today on AOA, powered by Cenex. Power through the season, Cenex has what you need. Visit your nearest Cenex store or Cenex.com for more. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
My hospital stay would have cost $25,000, but with VA healthcare, it's free.
My education would have cost $42,000, but with VA benefits, my books, tuition, and housing are all covered.
The down payment for my home would have been $74,000, but with my VA home loan, my down payment was zero. My service was then. My benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
It's common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink. Morning